Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks to the organizers for providing me the opportunity to give a talk here. So my presentation is about a stochastic model for analyzing the stability of oscillators, and more precisely, the stability of each periodic solution itself is analyzed. As a motivation, consider a system of ordinary differential equations or differential algebraic equations, and we assume that a periodic solution exists. And now we consider perturbations in the initial values. And if for all perturbed initial values, the corresponding solutions tend to the periodic solution, then we have a stable behavior. And otherwise, if there exist perturbed initial values where the solution tends away from the periodic solution, then we have an instable behavior. And in this situation, local stability is easy to analyze. However, global stability is harder to investigate, and I will discuss a stochastic model which exhibits promising results in these applications. Now, the overview of the contents in my talk reads as follows. I will give a brief review on local stability concepts and define a global stability criterion. Then I will introduce the stochastic model and then analyze the interconnections between the original deterministic and the novel stochastic model. The stochastic model has to be solved numerically, and I will discuss Monte Carlo methods and, as an alternative, the so-called strategy of polynomial chaos. And finally, a test example concludes the talk. Now, for the problem definition, consider a system of ordinary differential equations. The solution here is vector valued. The right hand side is smooth, depends on time, which means it's the non-autonomous case. We have an initial value s at time t equal to 0, and we denote the dependence of the solution on time and initial value as here t and s. We assume that a periodic solution exists, y hat, not necessarily unique, and we ask, is this solution stable? Which means, is the solution attractive? Which can be seen as a question, for which initial values does it hold that the corresponding solution tends to the periodic solution as time goes to infinity? So in this situation, local stability concepts exist. As a short recall, a reminder, I give the concept of Lyapunov stability. If Lyapunov stability holds, then this means that if the initial value is close enough to the periodic solution, then the resulting solution will stay in a neighborhood of the periodic solution. And a stronger condition is asymptotical stability. There we demand that in addition to Lyapunov stability, also that if the initial value is sufficiently close to the periodic solution, then the difference between corresponding solution and periodic solution will decrease to zero as time goes to infinity. And we can check asymptotical stability by Floquet theory, which means we compute the monotony matrix, which is the derivative of the solution with respect to the initial value evaluated at the periodic solution. And this matrix has n eigenvalues, possibly complex valued, and now it holds if the modulus of all eigenvalues is smaller than 1, then asymptotical stability is given. And the magnitude of these eigenvalues also characterizes the speed of convergence to our periodic solution. However, we do not obtain information about the domain of the local convergence by the eigenvalues. And this is why we now analyze global stability. Here, I give our definition. We consider a set V out of the Rn, which means a set of initial values. It shall be convex and a neighborhood of our initial value of the periodic solution. Then we say our periodic solution is globally stable with respect to this set if for all initial values in the set, the difference between the corresponding solution and the periodic solution tends to zero as time goes to infinity. So the definition is depends on V. However, V may be much larger than a domain of local convergence guaranteed by a local concept. And so we call this a global stability. Different definitions of global stability may exist in the literature. However, this is what we consider in the talk now. And as a remark, from this global stability, it does not follow the Lyapunov stability, because here we are analyzing the condition is for each initial value separately, whereas Lyapunov stability is for a continuum of solutions in a neighborhood. So now we introduce a stochastic model for analyzing global stability. Here we have again our initial value problem of ODEs, where the initial values are restricted to a set V. And what we all know is if we have a deterministic input value S, we obtain a deterministic solution Y. And now we want to introduce a stochastic input. We consider a probability space of a set omega, sigma algebra A on omega, and probability measure P. And then we have a random variable from the set omega in the set V. This is a stochastic input, and in this situation, then, the solution y of t and the input s, corresponding function, becomes a stochastic process, which means it depends on time and the probability space omega. And characteristic parameters in this setting are the expected value and the variance, both time-dependent, and I write them as vector-valued functions because we can analyze expected value and variance in each component separately. However, we can also take norms which unify then these magnitudes, vector norms. So this is the stochastic model, and now the interconnections between the original deterministic ODE and the novel stochastic model. There we were able to prove two theorems. The first is the results in the deterministic model now change to the stochastic model. We have three assumptions. Our initial set V shall be compact, the solution Y hat which we investigate shall be Lyapunov stable, and it shall be globally stable. And then it follows these two conditions for the stochastic model. The first condition means that the difference between the expected value of the stochastic process and the deterministic solution decreases to zero in each component as time goes to infinity. And secondly, the variance of the stochastic process converges to zero. These are properties. And more interesting is the second theorem, now vice versa, from the stochastic model to the deterministic model. There we just consider an arbitrary initial set. Again, the solution shall be Lyapunov stable, and the corresponding stochastic process shall satisfy these two conditions. And then it follows that the solution y hat is globally stable for almost all initial values out of the set V, which we have. Now here you recognize that in both cases we have to impose Lyapunov stability, but this is not a disadvantage because it only makes sense to investigate global stability if local stability is valid. And you see here we do not require that we have a compact set of initial values. An interpretation is if we have a non-compact set here, then this condition is harder to satisfy, will not such often be fulfilled. So, and now we have to ask how we should choose the stochastic input in a corresponding simulation appropriately. As a reminder, I have again written here the ODE with stochastic input, or here a short notation. The input is a random variable, and it's a vector valued. It consists of n components. And we want that the periodic solution, the initial value, is contained in the set V. And we assume that y hat of 0 has alpha n, 1 to alpha n, the components. And now we define that each component of the input shall be equal to alpha j plus an additional constant beta j and a random variable ZJ, which exhibits a classical distribution, like, for example, uniform distribution or Gaussian distribution. And all these ZJ shall be independent. And for simplicity, we assume in our simulation that they are identical distributed. So, however, we can choose different random variables, different types in each component, but now we assume that they are identical. And for example, if the set V consists of the product of compact intervals, then we may apply uniform distribution or beta distribution on each of these intervals. Or if the set V consists of the whole space Rn, then we may apply Gaussian distribution in each component. And in case of uniform and Gaussian distribution, we assume that the expected value of these input classical distributions is zero, which then means that the expected value of the input is just the initial value of the periodic solution. And in this case, the set V becomes geometrically, as well as with respect to the probability law, symmetrical to the initial value of the periodic solution. Now we want to achieve approximations, numerical approximations, of the expected value and the variance of the stochastic process. And their common strategy is Monte Carlo simulation, which means we create a number of realizations for the stochastic input. Here we have k times these realizations. And in practice, this is done by random number generators with respect to the underlying classical distributions. Then we have to solve the corresponding deterministic ODEs for each input. And this may be a large number k, so we have to solve the same ODE for different initial values a large number of times. And with the results of this ODE integrations, we can now compute the mean value and the sample variance as approximations for the expected value and the variance, respectively. And as I said, usually a large number k of realizations will be necessary to achieve a sufficiently accurate numerical approximation. Improvements can be done like variance reduction or the application of quasi Monte Carlo methods. Now I would like to introduce the polynomial chaos as an alternative strategy. And for explaining this, I introduce an abbreviation. If we have a random variable w, then these brackets denote the integral of the random variable in the whole probability space, which is just the expected value. Now assume that we have a stochastic process x on a finite time interval in the real numbers, and that almost each pass of this random variable belongs to the Sobolev space H1, corresponding to the time interval. Then we can introduce a norm for the stochastic process given as the expected value of the norm in the space H1 to the square here. And now for our solution of the ODE with stochastic input, we know that for each component, the components, each pass belongs to the set H1. This is because we assume that for each initial value, the ODE exhibits a unique smooth solution. We assume a smooth right-hand side in the ODE. And then we have the requirement that the norm of each component, this norm here, shall be finite for each j. And then we can expand the stochastic process in a series given here in vector-valued form, where we have coefficient functions vi depending on time, and the sum is now over all linear independent polynomials in n variables called phi I, and the variables are the n random variables with classical distributions. So you see here we have a separation. The time dependence is in the coefficient functions, vector valued vi, and here we have the scalar polynomials which depend on the probability space. And we also assume that we have an orthogonal basis of polynomials, which is then characterized by this condition with respect to the expected value, that phi I times phi L, the expected value is zero if I is not equal to L. So, and if all our input variables here are chosen as Gaussian random variables, then we speak of polynomial chaos. This strategy was introduced by Wiener in the 1930s, and the corresponding basis polynomials are the Hermit polynomials. So if the inputs are non-Gaussian variables, like, for example, uniform distributions, then one speaks of generalized polynomial chaos, and these strategies have been investigated more deeply in the last 10 years, for example, by people like Kanyadakis, Schwab, Su, Lukor. So, and for a numerical approximation, we have to truncate our series at some finite value m, obtain this finite sum here. And now we can insert this approximation in our ODE with stochastic input, and we obtain a residual given here. Thereby, the time derivative is interchanged with the summation. And now we want to determine the coefficient functions such that the residual becomes small in some sense. And therefore, we apply a Galerkin approach, which means that the residual shall be orthogonal to the space of the ansatz functions, to the Bessel's functions phi L in each component. Here is given the expected value of residual times Bessel's polynomial in each component shall be equal to zero. And now we can insert the formula of the residual here and use the orthogonality of the Bessel's polynomials, and thus we obtain a system of ordinary differential equations given in this form. L goes from 0, 1 up to m. So the size of our original deterministic system blows up. Originally, we have n equations. Here, f has dimension n. And now we have m plus 1 times n equations for this system of ODEs. And we also have to expand our random initial values in the Bessel's. And there it follows that with our assumptions on the previous slide, that the first coefficient function at the beginning, this is just the expected value, consists of the values alpha 1 to alpha n. The next Bessel's functions, the next n Bessel's functions, these correspond to the linear polynomials. They are just beta L times the L's unit vector e, and all other initial values are equal to 0. And now we can solve this ODE system by standard ODE methods, and we have to solve it only one time to obtain approximations then for the stochastic process. In particular, the key data, the expected value, is just the first coefficient function, V0, and the other coefficient functions can be used to compute an approximation of the variance. And if we integrate our ODE system, we have to evaluate the right-hand side, and each evaluation in the right-hand of such a right-hand side demands the computation of the expected value, and this is done by multidimensional Gaussian quadrature formulae. So now I want to consider a test example, namely the Duffing oscillator, which represents an ordinary differential equation of second order. It is nonlinear because of this term. The right-hand side here forces a periodic oscillation in the system. So the equivalent system of first order is given here, and we apply these parameters in our simulation. Later we will change the value of kappa because this determines the nonlinearity in our problem. And with these parameters we obtain a periodic solution, period is 1. Given these initial values, we see here the periodic solution for the two components. And also we can analyze local stability by the Floquet theory. These are the eigenvalues of the monotony matrix. The modulus is smaller than 1, and thus we have a stable periodic solution for this system. Now we apply the stochastic model with this stochastic input given here. So we center around the initial values of the periodic solution the random input with variables Z1 and Z2, which shall both be independent uniform distributions on the interval minus 1 to 1. And they are also then amplified by a factor of 2 here. This is a factor beta then. We apply in the numerical simulation the polynomial chaos with Legendre polynomials up to degree 4, which means that since we have two variables, that we have m plus 1 is equal to 15 Bessel's polynomials. And since we have two components in our system, we end up with an ODE of 30 equations. And we apply the trapezoidal rule to solve this system approximately. And for comparison, we also apply a Monte Carlo simulation, applying one time 100 samples and another time 1,000 samples. And now the following results are just for the first component of the system, which coincides with the solution of Duffing's equation, because for the second component, the results are similar. So here on the left, we have the blue line, the expected value, which is achieved by the polynomial chaos. And we see after some short initial phase, here the expected value becomes our periodic solution. And correspondingly, on the right-hand side, we have the variance in a logarithmic scale. The solid brown line was computed by polynomial chaos, and we see the variance decreases exponentially. During 20 oscillations here, the variance decreases by a magnitude of 10 up 4. And for comparison, the red lines here also show the Monte Carlo simulation. The bad approximation here is for 100 samples, and the better approximation for 1,000 samples. And you see, you have to, for a correct approximation of the variance, you have to use many samples. However, qualitatively, it also goes down. And here is also included the red line for Monte Carlo simulation, where you see that the approximation of the expected value is much better by Monte Carlo. This is typical behavior also in other applications. So we also want to investigate the results from the polynomial chaos more detailed by looking at the 15 Bessis polynomials, the 15 coefficient functions belonging to the first component. Given here in the first plot for degree 0 and 1, the blue line is degree 0. This is the expected value which you have seen on the previous slide. And the other two functions belong to the degree 1, to the linear polynomials. You see the first function is starting at 2, which results from our initial value from the stochastic input. The second function starts at 0 because the second random input is 0 in the first component. Then we see, you see we have damped oscillations here during time. And for all other degrees, 2, 3, 4, you see starting at 0, we always have damped oscillations here. So it's a highly oscillatory problem. And we also can compute, for example, an approximation of the variance just applying up to degree 3, the results. And then we achieve the same plot as we have seen on the previous slide. So we do not recognize a difference by the graphical plot. And this indicates that a degree 4 is already sufficiently accurate. Now, finally, also want to discuss a strongly nonlinear case of our problem, where we apply the same previous parameters, everything as before, but we just change the value of kappa to 10. And then it also exists a periodic solution which is nearly the same as before in the case of kappa equal to 1, which is also locally stable. And then we look at the results achieved by the polynomial chaos. Now for this situation, here for the first component, the expected value, and we see after an initial phase, the expected value becomes periodic. However, we see the period is not 1, as it is for the investigated periodic solution. And also the shape is not like for the original periodic solution, since we have different amplitudes here. And correspondingly, the variance in logarithmic scale, we see first the variance decreases, and then it does not decrease anymore, and it becomes a periodic solution itself. So we see here that we do not have convergence of in the stochastic model. And what is the explanation of this behavior? Let us look at the Monte Carlo simulation, the 100 samples. In the previous case, we have that for all 100 initial values we see here, that they all end up in the same stable periodic solution. But now, in the strongly nonlinear case, we see that besides our considered periodic solution given here, other periodic solutions exist, which are also stable. So each initial value tends to a stable periodic solution. However, it is not the same solution which we investigate. So our stochastic model was able to detect that in the first case, this solution here is globally stable with respect to our initial set. And in the second case, it was able to indicate that it is not globally stable, this particular solution. So now I sum up advantages and disadvantages of the stochastic model and in particular the polynomial chaos applied to it. So one advantage is that we obtain information about global stability properties. Another advantage is that we obtain quantitative results by expected values and variances. And the third advantage, we obtain by the polynomial chaos detailed information by the different coefficient functions, which then, for example, can be used also for an error control. And the disadvantage is that the simulation results are just in a finite time domain, whereas the local stability concepts represent asymptotical properties as time goes to infinity. And another disadvantage is that the computational effort increases exponentially with the dimension n of the ODE. This is clearly the case in the polynomial chaos, since we have to apply extremely more Bessis functions. And also for Monte Carlo simulation, it is expected that we require much more samples to achieve a sufficiently accurate approximation. So, and finally, as an outlook for further research is that we also would like to apply appropriate stochastic models to other applications. And first, what we would like to do is consider autonomous oscillators. There we have the problem that we have in the periodic solution a degree of freedom by translation. If we have a periodic solution, then a translation, a shifting is also a periodic solution. And therefore, it does not make sense to assume such a periodic, such an, a stochastic input as I presented here. And an idea would be to apply in a kind of Poincaré map just n minus 1 random inputs. However, the Poincaré map represents a local concept for investigating stability, and so we do not expect that we achieve an appropriate global stability property by this concept. And another application is if we have stochastic input parameters in the right-hand side of the ordinary differential equation, and then usually the limit cycle, the periodic solution, depends on this parameter, it changes with this parameter, and expected value and variances can be computed. There have already been publications by Kaniadakis about this topic. And of course, in this situation, this parameter-dependent right-hand sides, you have to consider then also bifurcation theory in your models. So now at the end of my talk, thank you for your attention. Yes, I think that most of these results for periodic solutions also carry over to equilibrium points, that you have that the expected value tends to the equilibrium point and then the variance should decrease to zero. Then have to check it in detail. So I've first considered the more difficult case of periodic solutions because we are more in, considered in applications with periodic solutions instead of equilibrium. But I also have the opinion that can be carried over.
You mentioned V doesn't have to be compact. Of
yes.
I would expect some relationship between the decay and the tails of the probability distribution and the vector field.
You mean here? Okay. So here in the second theorem, V can be an arbitrary set of initial values. However, you also have then to consider that the stochastic process satisfies this condition. And I think this condition will be harder to be satisfied in the case of a non-compact initial set. But as a remark, the numerical simulations for Duffing oscillator, I have also done them with Gaussian distribution for if the initial set is the whole R2 and this exhibits the same results. It is because here in Gaussian distribution, you have a density function and then after some compact interval, it does not matter what comes outside. However, it was not able to do the I was not able to do the proof in this case because also for initial values lying in regions with very low probability, the difference between neighboring initial values may increase exponentially. So I think you cannot prove this without additional assumptions on the right hand side of your ordinary differential equations. So I only assume that the right hand side is smooth and nothing more.
Thank you very much.